people, a people with kingdom potential. The Samaritan people were the remnant of the Jewish people that managed to escape the exile into Babylon. They so-called cohabitated with the Gentiles from different regions who believed in different gods, and thus the Samaritan people were formed. The Jewish people considered the Samaritans unclean. In fact, they basically considered them a cult because they had mixed with the Gentile people who worshipped foreign gods. The hate and dislike between the Samaritan people and the Jewish nation was from both sides. They hated each other on equal amounts. Many Jews would avoid going through Samaria because of the historical hatred towards or even between them. They would go around Samaria rather than go through it. Jesus was going through Samaria not by mere chance. He didn't just accidentally stumble upon the woman at Jacob's well. Jesus had a purpose for meeting the woman. He knew that she would be there. The Samaritan woman, according to Scripture, previously had five husbands, and the man that she was with now was not her husband. You see, it's quite easy to go down the line, and many interpreters say that the woman was a woman of ill repute, that in fact that she was a prostitute. But I don't agree, because you see, back in society back then, women had no rights, and only men could divorce their wives. So I put it to you that she was rejected and abused by five husbands who chose not to honour their marriage to her. And they cast her off because they could. The other fact you also need to know about the society back then is that they believed that every word that came out of a woman generally was originated from a lie. So although the man might be a man of disgrace and that he might have brought disgrace on himself, he walked clean and with honour away from a relationship, regardless of who he was or how he behaved. But yet the woman bore all the stigma and all the dishonour and was shunned from society like a woman of ill repute, although she had done nothing wrong. I put it to you that this is the interpretation of the Scripture, that in fact she was a woman that was rejected and abused. I'm not saying that she was perfect. I'm not saying she didn't have her part to play in the breakdown of all her relationships. But yet, women in that culture had no right and no honour. And there she was, not only a Samaritan, but also a woman who had been abused and rejected. Now really, it's quite obvious, really the sixth hour of the day, Jewish day always started at 6 a.m., so when the Bible says the sixth hour, it is 12 midday. Whereas we might say, what if it's 6 o'clock in the morning? But no, it's midday. It's the hottest part of the day. Nobody goes and collects water at midday. All the women would collect the water first thing in the morning or last thing at night when it was the cool of the day. It was almost a social gathering that they would go and draw the water. She was unable to do that because she was of low social standing and therefore avoided the contact with fellow women. And she would find herself going and collecting the water for her household at 12 midday. The Samaritan woman showed of low social standing with a slightly dodgy lifestyle showed potential. As did Rahab the prostitute, Isn't it interesting? Rahab, the prostitute in Jericho, was ultimately responsible for saving people's lives, and God chose to use her. Normal society would have written her off because she was a woman of ill repute, but yet God saw that she showed potential. So the woman in Samaria, the Samaritan woman, was a woman of low social standing, showed no honor according to world standards. There was nothing to say that she was of any value in the society that she found herself within. But yet, Jesus saw potential. David, King David, we all know his story. He was the king who sent a man to the front line. He was the king who had adulterous relationships, who gazed upon a woman. Why they chose the bath on the roof, I have no idea. But yet they did, and he gazed upon her and sent her husband to the front line in order that he might have a relationship with her and fulfill his lustful desires. But yet, God said, this is a man after my own heart. An adulterer, a murderer, a prostitute, a Samaritan woman with five husbands, and a man who wouldn't marry her. It was dishonoring for a woman, for a man not to marry her. And yet, God said, they showed potential. Surely, if that was the world, they would have not selected King David as a king. They would have not gone to Rahab to be saved. They would have not expected the Samaritan woman to be so crucial in the event that was going to unfold. We simply wouldn't have selected them. We would have not selected the great men and women of the Bible to do half the things they did if we were to judge them by the world's standards. So maybe, just maybe, potential has got absolutely nothing to do with the way the world would recognize it. It's got nothing to do with wealth. It's got nothing to do with intelligence. It's got nothing to do with beauty. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got nothing to do with religion. It's got nothing to do with culture. Just maybe, maybe potential is about our relationship with God and what is capable through people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's because God looks at us and is pleased. For Christ died whilst we were still sinners. Would you die for a people who were wretched? Probably not. I wouldn't. But you see, Christ and God saw the potential of the people, that they would turn out to be good and great, and that they would worship him, and that the world would be transformed. Therefore, Jesus went to the cross with joy and love in his heart because he saw the potential of the people, even when they were sinners, even when they worshipped different gods, even when they abandoned him. He still saw their potential. He still died on the cross. He saw their potential. He sees our potential. So when Jesus goes and meets the Samaritan woman, he sees her potential first. Not her five husbands. Not her lowly life. Not her sins. He sees her potential. So potential has to be different to the way that the world would recognize or judging. It's not a set of skills. It's a heart broken. A heart on its knees before Christ. When Jesus saw the woman, he saw the potential that was within her that just needed unlocking and empowering by God. Jesus not only saw the heart of the woman that would become open to him, he saw the redemption of the Samaritan people in her village. Jesus saw her potential. Jesus in the passage was talking about the living water, the Holy Spirit would soon come to rest upon and within all believers, fully releasing the churches and the individuals' kingdom potential. They would be fully sought and led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. How do you feel or think God sees you? Be honest. What about self-image? What about low esteem? You know, I grew up, my parents loved me dearly, but I grew up with the understanding that I could, that I was never right. That regardless to what I did, or what I said, or how I felt, my emotions, my feelings, my point of view seemed irrelevant. And so that led me to be insecure, doubt myself, lack confidence, always assume the position of being wrong, even when I am right. It damaged me. My parents didn't mean to do that. I know that. But yet, that is the truth. And so you see, this is like this Samaritan woman, but yet Jesus says, I see your potential. Do you hold off trying things or answering God's call because you can't see that you have potential? Do you keep quiet because you feel unimportant? God would say to you this morning, you have. I see you. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, it says this, that God takes delight in you. And then towards the end, it says he will rejoice over you with singing. Jesus died on the cross because he saw your potential. Because he loved you first and knew that you would love him in return. Jesus said that when he went to be back with the Father, that he would send the Holy Spirit and that we would be able to do greater things than him because of the Holy Spirit. He saw the people's potential, a people who walked in the Spirit. See, in John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, it says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. God's presence in our life unlocks the potential that God saw in us at the beginning of time, before we were even created. God had seen each and every one of us and our potential. It was the encounter with Jesus speaking into her heart, that released the God-given potential within the Samaritan woman. Her testimony about Jesus and her boldness to tell the village, who knew her lifestyle and probably even shunned her. She played a key role in the village coming to know Jesus as the Savior of the world. What potential And it all started with a Samaritan woman who showed potential according to Jesus. So a Samaritan woman who had been married to five men before, who was now with a woman, a man, that's a whole other sermon. She's now with a man who wouldn't marry her. She's a Samaritan hated by the Jews. She's now facing a Jewish man who sees potential in her. And she is the key person who brought salvation to her whole village. Because of her testimony, the people, the men and the women in the village wanted Jesus to stay, wanted Jesus to speak to him. It's interesting that how the Jewish nation only ever said that the Messiah is coming, but yet in this small, seemingly insignificant encounter with Jesus, the first phrase that's out of their mind, out of their mouths, is that he is the Savior of the world. So through the testimony of the Samaritan woman, and through them meeting Jesus, they recognize in an instant that he is the Savior of the world. And it all started with a woman that was written off by society. It came from what we would have classed as unclean. What potential. We need an encounter with Jesus. The world needs an encounter with Jesus. Jesus looked beyond race, religion, gender, social standing, faults, flaws, weaknesses, social and society norms, traditions, rituals, etc. Jesus looked at the heart. We see this when David was selected over his brothers for king. For it says in 1 Samuel, God does not see as human sees. Humans look at the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart. If we were going to select David as king, we would have overlooked him because he was the weakest and smallest of his brothers and seemingly didn't have any kingly qualities at all. But yet Jesus, God, saw the potential in David to be one of the greatest kings that Israel has ever known and will ever know, apart from Jesus himself, obviously. Jesus saw the potential in the woman regardless of how things looked in the natural. Jesus looked beyond it and saw the spiritual potential of the woman. What about you? Are you able to look beyond what you might see in the natural and see a person's potential for the kingdom of God? Would you have been able to see the Samaritan woman's potential? Can you see past race, religion, gender, social standings? Can you see past the world's and immigration, especially in this country? Can you look past the Muslims and see their potential? Can you look past the homosexual society and see the potential that God has in them? Can you look past race? Can you overlook race-related crimes and see the potential of their perpetrators? Can you look past and see the potential of murderers, rapists? Can you look past that and see that God might have potential in them, that they might come to know Christ? Jesus, in his passage, referred to a time that had come where worshipping God would neither be associated with a place or a specific race, but to those who worshipped him in spirit and in truth, a relationship based on faith, not on law, a relationship that was sourced from the heart, born of God. Galatians chapter 3, it says this, So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The challenge is this. We need to see people the way Jesus did in this story. If the church can do this, just imagine the potential of every single person in this room going out and seeing somebody that you would not normally give any kind of regard to, the people that really annoy you, to the people that when you're walking along and you're seeing all the way that they live or the way that they speak to their children, or the fact that how often have you, when you walk past a dustbin, all you can think about is the smell, you don't think about the person. All of a sudden that person who gets rid of your rubbish becomes a smelly rubbish man. Who would possibly want to do a job like that? How could society possibly value somebody who just chucks out the rubbish, gets rid of the waste that we're too lazy to sort ourselves? But yet, Jesus sees potential in all people, regardless to race, religion, regardless to whether they're a prostitute, whether they're homosexual, whether they go to church. He sees beyond that. You see, Jesus walks to the well and sees this woman and sees the salvation of all the people in the Samaritan village. He sees that she is key, and if he unlocks her heart and brings her to God, that all the people that have shunned her for all these years, that have discounted her, would praise Jesus for their salvation because of the humility of a woman of disregard, of ill repute, a woman that was abused. You see, she was key. I tell you that you are key to many people's salvation. If you can walk out this room today and see the potential in people and speak into their lives and ask them the questions that Jesus asked, and see if they don't go away thinking that they have just had an encounter with God, and do you not see that they might also bring many more people back to the church to hear about Jesus Christ, because Jesus told them something that nobody else could know about their life. Jesus unlocked their potential. Imagine that, you going out and being party to the unlocking of the potential of a person who doesn't know Christ yet. And that Christ, that person, not you, would be responsible for the salvation of Jesus coming to that household. Isn't that crucial? Isn't that exciting? That if every one person came out of here and spoke to one person, and if the whole household and the family and the relatives come to know Christ, it wouldn't be long before Wellington was a town of worshippers of Jesus Christ, and that there was no unsaved people left, because we would go out from here and see the potential of those who we disregard. Maybe you think, maybe you've got some adolescent teenagers in your close or in your road, and all they do is smoke and swear at you and sit on street corners and play loud music and wear their hats backwards and display their bottoms. I don't know why. But yet God said they have potential. Maybe when we see the news and we see the child murderer or the rapist or any kind of crime, you can think maybe even Issal and Saddam Hussein, and we look at them and we say they're killing people, they hate people, but surely that's exactly what God did with Paul, the person who persecuted the Christians, who sat on the council, who had the right to say they will be killed. But yet God looked at him and said, you have potential, and you shall be the key to the salvation of the Gentile nation. Doesn't God have a habit of using what we think is unworthy to make the world free? Isn't it so? Just maybe, if we can look beyond the way that the world sees things, we might unlock the potential of many people and be part of their salvation. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be an honor? Wouldn't that make us look at people differently if we saw them the way that God sees them? The strangest thing is that God knew all this evil would happen. And it hurts him. But man has free will. But even people like Hitler, even all the people that kill people these days, even God sees their potential. Even God wants them to come to know him. Even God wants them to be saved. For God did not come for the righteous, but he came to seek and save the lost. So remember, the Samaritan woman showed potential, because potential is not defined by the world, but released by God through a relationship with him. An encounter with God creates and releases potential. You have potential. Seek him and he will release you into the world. Watch out, world. If you can see people as God sees them, then the effect would be unstoppable. All people, all races, all religions, all social standings, all creeds, all the untouchable will be reached because you saw the potential within the person that you engaged with. So finally, we need to be a people of constant communion with God, a people led by his Holy Spirit, a people that see potential in every person we come across. A people who know who they are, a people with kingdom potential. Let us pray. Father God, it is true what it says in that scripture, that we look at the harvest in the field and we say that it will be ready in a few months. But yet you say, look at the field. It is ripe for harvest. You say, by seeing somebody's potential, they are released and able to come to know you. That the sowing and the harvest happen almost instantaneous because of your will. Pray that you would help us to see people the way that you see them. I myself, Lord, find it very easy to judge people or put them below myself, lifting myself up like I'm some kind of superhero, which I'm not. Help me, help us to see people the way you do. Help us to be people who help unlock people's potential. Help us to be people who invite people. Thank you that Jesus is the salvation of the world. That we are not able to save mankind, we are not able to save ourselves, but yet Jesus is. And we are thankful for that salvation in Jesus.